Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Hello, Americans. I'm Paul Harvey.
If I were the devil,
if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness. And I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. So I set about however necessary to take over the United States.
President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flame.
The President of the United States is racist.
If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect the discipline emotions, don't let those run wild. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who want it until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. I would caution against extremes.
I'm here to warn people. You keep telling me to shut up. This isn't a game.
In hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct, I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Now you know the rest of the story.
It's a young generation, like Prime Minister Trudeau, half of this cabinet, are actually young noble leaders of the world.
Right.
So if we penetrate the cabinets, the change is not just happening. The change can be shaped by us.
We have to prepare for a more angry world. How to prepare? To take the necessary action to create a fairer world. I see the need for a great reset. So people assume we are just going back to the good old world which we had and everything will be normal again. This is, let's say, fiction. It will not happen.
There is only one way this pandemic is going to go. It's going to get worse and worse and worse.
Pay insufficient attention to the frightening scenario of a comprehensive cyber attack, which would bring to a complete halt to the power supply, transportation, hospital services, our society as a whole. The COVID-19 crisis would be seen in this respect as a small disturbance in comparison to a major cyber attack.
We'll be right back.
Victory has arrived. Ultimate Bone Broth is the strongest, highest quality chicken-based bone broth you're going to find, with all of the effects for your joints, your bones, your muscles, your heart, but more importantly, your immune system. Everybody knows about grandma and chicken broth. Well, this is concentrated chicken broth, the strongest out there, with chaga mushroom and a whole bunch of other ingredients like turmeric. The list goes on and on. This is definitely the strongest, best bone broth out there, and your purchase supports the InfoWar 360 win. If you've not experienced bone broth, and even the regular ones have great effects, believe me, you want to get InfoWars Life Ultimate Bone Broth at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, it'll take an hour to tell you all the great stuff about it. Just go to InfoWarsStore.com, read the facts there, and then order some, and you can't lose. It's nutritive, it empowers your body, it's great for your immune system, bones and joints, and it funds the InfoWar. So, Ultimate Bone Broth, now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com for 25% off.
I've got a...
He never gives up. He's Alex Jones, broadcasting from deep in the heart of Texas, worldwide.
You know, I've said that I know who Michael Yon is for decades. No, I've been on air 28 years. I remember him in coverage of the Iraq War, the second one in 2003. I mean, dude, I feel like I totally know you, but I just read your name and seen some of your reports over the years over and over again. Then when I saw you on Mike Adams a few months ago, I said, oh, this is the guy with Jordan Peterson with the great reporting from the Netherlands. I've got to get him on. And then luckily you were here with Mike yesterday and you moved to Texas. That's amazing. But you're a humble guy. I mean, but I think what you said is this. You were in special forces. You saw things. You realized information war was the next level. So you got into the information war as a journalist to tell the truth. So people really respect you. A lot of the listeners are really excited you're on. Most of them know who you are. Give us just, as an American, as a human, your view of the world and who the power players are and what's really happening in Ukraine and where you see this all going.
First of all, the Ukraine war is at best terrible. I mean, it's a huge, huge error for the United States to be involved. Not to get into all the details, but it's...
Go ahead. You got the floor.
Yeah. You know, I lived in Poland for... Let's go back to my Special Forces days. I was on two different A-teams in Special Forces as a Green Beret. In both of those teams, I can say it now, it was classified at the time, but we trained to parachute into Poland near a place called Białystok to do certain things, to do sabotage and kill Russians and that sort of thing. And so it was a lot of training, as you can imagine. I went to language school for it. I went to two language schools for it. And then later I lived in Poland after I was out of the army, which was unrelated. But the bottom line is I'm quite cognizant of things that go on in that region.
You know the cultural terrain.
Very. You know, I spent 6 years in Europe, or almost seven at this point. And so, you know, I've been all over Europe and in fact, I'll be going back again in a few days to go back home with Jordan Peterson, actually. And I may go to Ukraine, actually. Go ahead.
I'm listening.
Yeah, I may go to Ukraine. If I do, I'll probably go to Poland first and maybe Lithuania and, you know, talk with some of my contacts there and then mosey on over to Ukraine. It's unclear. I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet. I'll kind of follow my nose when I get there. But as you can see, we are getting into a time of war that's going to unfold over a period of years. And one of the most...
That's key. This is just the start.
Oh, clearly. And again, you know, before I came on today, I called Mike Flynn, General Flynn, and I said, hey, I'm going to go on with Alex today. Let's strategize some of the important things to talk about with you. Of course, he watches your show. And one is just how close we are to a thermonuclear war. I mean, we are that close. Russia clearly feels threatened. And if I were them, I mean, if China were putting troops in Mexico and in Canada on the borders, in large numbers or any numbers, which they may be doing among
the U.S. would hit them.
I would. I mean, if Canada were starting to allow, Chinese to station themselves across our border, Canada would become enemy territory, not Canadians, but Canada territory, of course. And of course, Ukraine, keep in mind, Ukraine and Russia have been fighting each other since forever, right? It's the white people Middle East is what I call it, right? And Europe in general is always been a fractious area. It's only had this interregnum of peace post-World War II because of U.S. troops in particular, I used to be stationed there. We are obviously the ones that kept the peace there. We're pulling back now, and now we're instigating. I mean, we clearly attacked Nord Stream. Is there proof of that? You know, when it was still bubbling up, a lot of us thought, who could have done that? Not the Russians, obviously, not the Germans. You know, that was their pipeline, right? And Biden and others had threatened to do something with Nord Stream. Now, Nord Stream is vital. When most of the Europeans wake up to what actually just happened with Nord Stream, I think a lot of them are still asleep. They don't realize what just happened. We really just damaged them, and it's going to unfold as 2023 unfolds.
I saw a number where it was over $100 billion the Germans have spent alone to hide the energy cost increase from the Germans.
And as you know, they can't do it forever. Another good, great book is When Money Dies. That's a good book to refer back to in the early 20s when, anyway.
So when you say this is the beginning, they're building permanent arms factories in Poland. They're saying it's probably a three-year war. That's in the RAND Corporation reports that you just alluded to. So how does this multi-year war go? What?
Well, as you know, with war, anybody who thinks they can predict which way a war can go is actually a fool. Anybody who can start, you know, thinks they can start a war and control it knows nothing about war. Wars do what pandemics do. They get out of control. And war makes war, right?
They escalate.
War creates war. Pandemic creates pandemic. Famine creates famine. And they all create each other, right? Ukraine is one of the breadbaskets of the world, and now it's very, you know, interrupted, of course. Many of the farmers are either fighting or they've left or they can't fight. They're in or their farmland has been bombed. They can't go back. So there's one piece off the chessboard, right? Now we've got Nord Stream destroyed. So many other interruptions are unfolding now. Conditions are being set for global famine. And global famine, the last time I think we saw, you know, a sincere global famine, if you want to call it that, would be about 1816, the year without a summer because of the volcanic eruption in 1815. It kind of unfolded in 1816 and 1817, you know, because that was, you know, the atmosphere was filled with.
Was that Krakatoa or another one?
No, it wasn't Krakatoa, it was Tambora, right? And so that was, you know, in 1815. There's a great book on it called The Year Without a Summer, actually. And interesting, when they analyzed old paintings from the time period, not just that volcanic eruption, but others, the great artists would have a little bit more red in their sunsets. So you can analyze, you know, art history actually has more purpose than.
And the plants don't grow as well. So yeah. Klaus Schwab brags that they're artificially doing this to collapse the old system, bring in the new. How does the elite, like you said, think they're going to control this? I mean, this is out of control.
Yeah, notice how they're floating cannibalism now as well, right? You see the.
That's why I made the joke a few years ago.
Yeah. Oh, you could see it coming. When I saw you do that, I said, "Look, he sees it like normal. You're usually so far ahead of everybody else's headlights that it sounds crazy, as you know. But it just turns out you just happen to be right before other people picked up on it. And for instance, the cannibalism thing, you can see it getting floated around now in different magazines and newspapers and online.
New York Times.
That's right, New York Times.
Well, you're an expert on cannibalism. You've tracked him and actually arrested him and stopped him. But I saw a Pentagon report, I forget the name, like 20 years ago, that within 15 days of a total breakdown, most people become cannibals. Within 10 days, most people will commit murder. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't arrest any, but I certainly tracked some down. You know, the reason I tracked them down, I was taking a break in the action, actually, I went cannibal hunting. But when I was in Special Forces, I had some really great mentors, and I was told, study world religions, study cults, study anthropology, which sounded kind of strange because I'm like, hey, I'm a young Green Beret. I should be studying explosives, you know, and I should be studying warfare, right?
Well, winning the hearts and minds is most important.
Yeah, but that upper level, that next level is information war, right? And so I found out that I was very interested in anthropology when I started reading. Like, I read everything Joseph Campbell ever has written, as an example.
He's dead on.
Yeah, oh, he's right on. Hero with a Thousand Faces, I read that three times. I read all of his books. It's unbelievable. So, I mean, and I've traveled around the world quite a lot, well, about 90 countries. Most of my life has been overseas. So I was in India, just taking a break, and I was out photographing a tiger and that sort of thing. And I came across some cannibals, and it was quite interesting. And then I realized some Americans were involved, including one from Houston, right? It took me a long time to figure out that.
When I said arrested, I think you're tracking him led to him getting grabbed, right?
Well, he's dead now. But he ended up being arrested when he tried to kill me, actually. Yeah. But his name was Gary Stevenson. He was born on December 3rd, 1950 in Houston. His dad was an artist. I've got all of his family photos and, you know, actual copies, the prints of his family, the originals. And I got his daughter to take a DNA test for me and this sort of thing. I hunted down a lot of cannibals. But the bottom line is it's interesting. It's a cult called Agor, which has been around for at least 600 years. And they believe the Agor, I can explain this in like 15 seconds, the kernel of the religion. It's a subsect of Hinduism, but they believe God or the gods are perfect and created everything, and therefore everything is perfect. So if you're disgusted by anything, you're disgusted by God. So you should do everything. So one of the things they do is cannibalism, right? And they do it openly. They won't hide it. They'll do it like we would eat fried chicken. I mean, they're very...
All right, let's start at the beginning. This is so interesting. The adventures you've been on, it's all on record. You did all this stuff. What a life. Stay there. I want to hear about this cannibal situation. Now he tried to kill you when we come back. Amazing. You can...
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, Take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Riveting stuff. You've got so much knowledge. Yeah, interrupted by the break. Get back to you're in India photographing tigers. You learn about a cannibal cult, and then, wow.
Oh, yeah. I saw these missing Westerner signs all over the place, and I actually encountered a cannibal, weirdly. And long story short, I heard stories about one from Hawaii and or Texas. And finally, it took 6 months and just unbelievable things I learned. I studied everything I could about this cult, trying to find out if Westerners were involved. For instance, I heard about some Italians. I flew over to Italy and I found them. I physically met them and went to one of their homes and that sort of thing. I infiltrated one of the cults in California. There were some in California. I lived with them. But before all that, I tracked the first one, the first American down in Texas. I mean, he's from Texas. He was from Houston. His dad was an army officer in World War II in Papua New Guinea. And his name was actually his super great grandfather was the one who brought Methodism to Texas. I have his autobiography in early 1800s.
Wow.
Anyway, so he read a book. His name was Gary Stevenson, the American Cannibal. He read a book when he was 15 years old. He had polio in his left leg, and it shriveled his leg, right? He got that in 1952 in June, right? There was a major outbreak of polio that year, and the two worst places were Houston and Los Angeles, and he was in Houston. And he got polio. He came from a nice family. Most of the polio victims actually came from nice families. They weren't the poor Irish kids, that sort of thing. They were actually people like Gary, who came from a very wealthy family. And so Gary Stevenson tried to heal his leg, and he started reading all sorts of books on diet. And he read a book called Autobiography of a Yogi, which was the same book that Steve Jobs said that he read every year of his life since he was 19 years old, and he gave away hundreds at his funeral, right? And they ended up going to the same Hare Krishna temple in San Francisco, weirdly. You can see Steve Jobs talking about this, and I've got Gary. I don't think that they ever knew each other or met each other, but they happened to cross this same circles and this, that sort of thing. And so anyway, Gary Stevenson became a Hare Krishna, and then finally left that. Hare Krishna are not cannibals, by the way. And then he ended up moving to Hawaii, Gary Stevenson did, and then finally he moved to India, and he joined this cult called Agor. And that's where I got on his trail, tracked him down. He was drinking out of human skulls, and he'd tell me things like, Michael, don't drink out of a woman's skull because it leaks. You know, he would tell me little bits of cannibal wisdom like that. They always drink out of a skull out of their left hand, and they will drink actually their own urine. They drink blood. They make horns out of a human femur that they actually blow. They make damaru drums from baby skulls and baby skin. And he had joined this cult. There's other Americans that have joined it. Anyway, I ended up going up to Tibet at one point, and I was in Tibet in a market, and I saw that they're selling these same sort of implements near Potala Palace, which is that big palace in Lhasa, right?
Now, folks don't know Tibet has cannibalism.
Yeah, I didn't know that until I went up there, and I saw these implements, and I was like, you know, these aren't Hindus. And I started talking with some of the Tibetans about it, and they're like, yeah, it's an old form of Buddhism and this sort of thing. Anyway, I tracked them down 6 times around the world. I tracked down many of these cannibals. Many Americans have joined, Italians and others. It's fascinating. With Gary Stevenson, at one point, I was sitting, I'd interviewed him. The first time I found him, I interviewed him for 18 days, right? And at one point, I actually borrowed his passport, let's say, and I photographed it, and I made a spreadsheet of all of his travels. And he had gone in, he had about 70 or 80 entries and exits from countries, Sri Lanka.
How was he paying for all this?
He got an insurance settlement. He got hit by a Chinese guy, he said, in Hawaii on a bicycle. Gary, with his leg, despite his leg, he could ride a bicycle. And in fact, I flew to Hawaii at one point, got his name change records, found people that were on his, found his.
So what ended up happening to him?
He's dead. And I think he was poisoned. It's unclear at this point. I have his autopsy. In fact, I sent a spy back over to check some things out. I think he was poisoned, but I'm unclear on that.
How the hell did people get involved in a cannibalism cult?
Well, he was trying to heal his leg and find supernatural powers. And he went through this, you know, Steve Jobs went through a lot of, let's say, experimental dietary habits, right? A lot of people do, you know, protein powder to work out in the gym or whatever. Most of us have done something like that, right? But not cannibalism. So Gary the Cannibal, I called him GTC, Gary the Cannibal. And he'd say, actually, that's an Agori. Actually, that's Aslan. That guy's a fake Agori, but that's actually at Varanasi. That's near where I first met Gary the Cannibal, GTC. That's on the other side of the river from Varanasi, right? I call that the dog side of the Ganges.
How do you choose what you're going to cover? Because you've done so many things.
I'm free. You know, I'm a free man. And so the last time I actually worked for somebody for a paycheck, I think it was Michael Jackson, when I was in school after the Army and I was in college in California and I was offered a job with him. So I just do my calculus homework at Neverland. And then after that, I went off, started a business in Poland. And next thing you know, I was war correspondent and that sort of thing. So, yeah, actually, I always wanted to be a physicist. And then I figured out, I have too much energy. I can't sit still long enough to do so.
Pulling back to World War III. What is the exit strategy? Is there any way to stop this? Because the Russians aren't going to give up. The West isn't going to give up. It's escalating. How does this end?
Well, we have, I call it OGUS, the Occupational Government of the United States. And we are clearly occupied. We are clearly what we were fighting against. We have become that thing, right? We have no borders. We're in Texas now. I've been down on this border quite a lot on the Mexican and Texas side. I've got trash bags filled with passports of migrants who discard them in the Mexican side. And there's no border. And Governor Abbott will sit here. I was on the Mexican side last year, and Governor Abbott's talking about all these border control measures they're doing. And I'm like, I'm right at the Rio Grande on the Mexican side watching them cross the river in our National Guard, Texas National Guard.
And by the way, I'm no fan of Abbott, but in fairness, he captures them. The feds just let him go.
He does, but he does. But here's the thing about Abbott. He's making it sound like they're doing something. Instead of saying nothing's being done.
Instead of saying, I don't have power, it's a federal issue. Yeah.
He's making it sound like we're actually doing something.
They'll have troops walk around with a rifle acting like we're in control.
And we're not. If you actually physically go to the border yourself, you'll see there's these little tiny swaths of some National Guard, and then the other 99% of the border is wide open, and people are just crossing everywhere. And even when they cross right by the National Guard will put them on the buses, and they go to...
So what's the solution?
Well, we need a new government. That's clear. We're not going to do it when you have dog kings in charge. Remember, the dog king did not get there by himself. He is a dog. Biden obviously did not... This obviously was a sham election. I was in Arizona for that election, with Carrie Lake. The two polling stations I went to, I'd just been overseas for 4 months. I flew straight to Maricopa County. And the two polling stations I went to had problems with the voting machines, with the elections that we just...
Well, they gave them ballots in Republican districts that wouldn't work.
Yeah, the voting machines weren't working. So there was people that couldn't vote, or they had to go far away and they couldn't go and that sort of thing. And that happened to many of the voting. But the two that I went to, the voting machines weren't working. I couldn't go to them all. I did a soil sample, you might say, and other people were giving me their reports. And it was just another stolen election, as clear as day.
So what are the globalists?
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself and the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. And I want to encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us. And that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
You are either with the Republic or against it. Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. That is Alex Jones.
Crazy. Here we go. We're live. Black Beyond's on air with us. Look, I'm going to let you host the show. You got so many stories to tell, so much. But the big thing is the farmers. I mean, to quantify this, I was reading the Dutch are the third largest food producer in the world. The whole thing's a giant farm. They're the super farmers. They're the supermen, the ubermenschen. The government's like, we're going to phase out 1 year, 30% of your cows. In a decade, most of your cows. We're going to shut all your farms down. We're going to take your property. They're doing it. And then they make the minister doing it like the head of the new UN food program to cut the food off. I mean, it's like Biden cutting off the Keystone Pipeline that would have cut gas prices, they say, by like 20% at least and given us hundreds of thousands of jobs total. I mean, it's like hard to believe they're at war with us.
They're literally at war with us. And by the way, again, when you see this red handkerchief, that's a sign of the Dutch farmer resistance. And that's why I carry it with me. And I'm going back over there again soon. Maybe Jordan, the dairy farmer, is watching this now. And Jordan talked about, I took Jordan Peterson to see Jordan, the farmer. He's one of the main resistance leaders there. And Jordan talked about how the Dutch government so controls all of their inputs. They know every gallon or every liter of diesel they get there, every one of his cows has an ear tag.
And they went along with the surveillance they're using for control. Lesson is, don't opt into this.
Oh, it's totally. And so they're completely controlled. Like, he can't have an extra cow. They'll know. For instance, the milk truck that comes every day. I've been over to his farm quite a lot. The milk truck comes. Here's the milk truck. You know, it hooks it up. It knows exactly how many liters it got out, that sort of thing. Everything is controlled. And so it's interesting. When I was with, you've heard of gleaning before, gleaning from the Bible, gleaning. It's interesting. I was with Jordan, and Jordan said, you know, he's like one of those super tall Dutch people. He's talking to me. He's like, you know, Michael, they've started gleaning here again. Gleaning is from the Bible. It's when people go and, you know, when the crops are not completely pulled out of it, when people harvest their crops, let's say onions, and 2 to 3% of the onions are left in the field, people will come and collect those crops. That's called gleaning. There's a famous painting in France about gleaning that was highly political. You may have seen it before, the three ladies in the field and that sort of thing. Anyway, he told me that people are starting to glean again in Netherlands. He saw them gleaning right down. He has a dairy farm, so they're not gleaning on his farm. But down the road, there were Dutch people gleaning. He said he'd never seen that in his whole life. He heard his parents talking about it. He heard his grandparents talking about it from the war, but he had never seen it with his own eyes until 2022. And now the gleaning is starting actually in the United States now. It's when people go to the farms and start either stealing crops, which is not really gleaning, that's stealing, or they start just taking crops that weren't harvested, right? And now this is starting. This is one of those symptoms of famine. I read a lot of books on pandemic and famine, and you'll see.
Look how much eggs cost now.
Sir?
Eggs.
Oh, eggs, exactly. You know, I bought a lot of eggs, dehydrated eggs in 2020, and I've still got them. I bought a ton of them. And because I saw where I was going with eggs. You can, if you study these things enough, they become less difficult to predict because there are a lot of patterns that are.
And history repeats, why does the ruling global class think they'll get away with this? Because the good news is they thought they'd carry this out and be the saviors. They're not carrying it out and being the saviors. People know they're behind it.
Yeah, and you know, again, I mentioned earlier the famous Japanese journalist Masako Ganaha was recently over in Davos, and you notice she was the one who tracked down Klaus Schwab. And Klaus Schwab, and she was, you know, trying to ask him questions, and he got into his hybrid car, which was not an electric car, and he drove away. Interestingly, though, if you notice how much security he did not have, right? He was basically naked out there. And why would Klaus Schwab? He's clearly a dog king himself. That thick German accent. He's been there since the beginning, almost the beginning. And he's
a front man.
Yeah, he's clearly a sort of a bag man, as is Yuval. You can see that these guys are like actors in professional wrestling. The perfect evils, the perfect, like, look at this guy. He's like right out of a movie. And he is. He's clearly part of the information game. He is not the leader of WEF. World Economic Forum.
I agree. So what do you expect is going to happen? Give us your prognosis for the near and midterm.
It's going to get bloody. I mean, that's obvious. It's because it's all about conditions, right? And one thing about wars is that they always go in unpredictable ways. And people, you know, the World Economic Forum has started a war. At this point, they will not be able to turn it off. And at some point, people will target them. I'm not saying to target them, obviously, but...
But the world's a two-way street.
Yeah, the world is a two-way street. It's going to get kinetic. It's already kinetic on us. And it's going to get way out of control, because that's what wars do.
Well, look at the left defunding police, and now you see leftist politicians on a daily basis being murdered in their homes. Bishops, congresspeople, mayors. I mean, it's every day they're being murdered. What did they think was going to happen? Like, they're going to cut police to kill us. What happens to them?
Exactly. Yeah.
Why do they think they're immune from what they do? Like, anybody that has chivalry, chivalry's not a wimpy thing. You're like, let's leave the women and children out of this. They're like, oh, you're wimpy. We'll get rid of chivalry. No, we don't want women and children targeted. Why do they think getting rid of chivalry is so cool? Like wimps didn't develop chivalry. They did it because they were honorable.
Right. Well, the people that we're fighting against, and we're clearly... They are clearly setting conditions for global famine and setting conditions for a massive migration into Europe and the United States. The migration into Europe is almost complete, but it's still ongoing. For instance, I was in Morocco about a year and a half ago with Chuck Holton, the famous war correspondent friend of mine. And you can see there's two EU cities, Spanish cities in Africa. They're in Ceuta and Melilla. They're in Morocco. And so you'll see there's actually Spanish cities in Morocco, right? And so if you can get into Ceuta or Melilla, you're actually in the EU. So that's one of the places where migrants are weaponized, right? And so that whenever Morocco is upset with Spain or whatever, they'll push some more migrants into Ceuta. I went there. I went to the wall and whatnot. Likewise, over with Turkey and Greece. I was over on that wall with Chuck Holton on the Turkey-Greece border wall. They have a border wall there. Actually, the Greek, you might call them resistance. We went and sat at a little village cafe in Greece right next to the wall, and these really swarthy men came in, and they were clearly the resistance. They started showing us photos of their weapons and their radios and whatnot. And they said, you know, our government is building that wall not to defend us against the migrants, but to defend the migrants against us, because we're not letting them into Greece. We're not going to let them around our families. They're cutting down the trees. For instance, they complained about cutting down these olive trees that are 300 years old. You won't believe how many wars are started over trees.
People love them now. People love those trees.
Oh, they're 300 years old olive trees. You know, I mean, when I was in Afghanistan, I was with the British, and we were taking sniper fire every day. And I was like, why can't we kill the sniper? I mean, and we were intercepting his ICOMs. It's like, we know where he's at. He's doing ICOMs, right? The reason he was shooting at us, he had gone to Pakistan and bought a sniper rifle because the British had cut down some of his fruit trees, pomegranates.
I remember reading about Iraq when the military cut down a bunch of trees on the Tigris-Euphrates. That creates a whole uprising.
Oh, they'll straight up go to war for it. And finally, actually, one of the soldiers in the unit that I was with, it was as small as in Sangin, actually, the most dangerous district in all of Afghanistan out of about 400 districts. And one of the British got shot in the head. He was killed. I mean, by that sniper. I mean, at one point I was like, why don't we pay for the tree or kill him? I mean, we cut down these trees for fields of fire. The British did, right? And I said, why don't we just pay for the trees or kill him? One or the other. He's going to kill us. And finally, he killed one of the soldiers. Never paid. And then the British commander was like, we would like to pay for the trees. And we offered to pay for the trees. But there's a schedule back in, you know, in London about how much you're able to pay for the trees. And it's not making him happy.
That's the same thing. Those trees are their livelihood. Just like the Dutch are ready to go to war because they're taking their cows and kill them.
Straight up. And that's why, again, that's why Stalin went for the kulaks. He went for the farmers and had the whole Holodomor in 1932-33. He was going after the farmers because the farmers are very... And why did this thing just happen in East Palestine, Ohio? I asked Sam Faddis. I just called him when I was in the green room. What is going on? He's a retired CIA guy. Why did this happen in East Palestine? I mean, was it the rivers? Was it what? And I don't know, but I also just called a journalist who's up there now, Jonathan. He might be watching. And his theory is that it's a big, it's Amish farmland. That's his theory.
Come back. Let's talk about the situation in Ohio straight ahead with our great guest.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Final segment with Michael Yon. Then Drew Hernandez takes over in the fourth hour out of Owen Shore at 3 p.m. Central, the War Room. But you were explaining a Carver matrix and a military training, basically hit list of priority targets, primary targets, and explaining, looking at this, it's obvious warfare. Then I even have the Wall Street Journal, everybody admitting, the government admits, power stations, record levels, food processing, farms, everything. And you talk about Ohio, just looking at that, what does your training tell you?
Sabotage. You know, as somebody who trained to parachute into Poland and do sabotage, I mean, it just reeks of sabotage. One question I have is, why East Palestine? Because, you know, in the Carver Matrix, something called the Carver Matrix, which is a planning tool for sabotage, when you're trying to assess which targets that you have the assets to hit or the ability to hit or which ones you should prioritize, the Carver Matrix is criticality, accessibility, recuperability, effect, and recognizability, right? And so, and you're going to want to hit critical nodes. A critical node is something that if you take this out, it takes out something important, right? So you want to use, as in business, the least amount of resources to get the most effect, right? And so why East Palestine, if it was in fact an attack, which I think that it was. That's my sense anyway. And why? So, you know, I was talking...
We know Antifa's attacking railways everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. But why East Palestine? And because you could have attacked it in other places, the same train, right? Was it just accidentally that it happened there? You know, the fire had started earlier. But, you know, that is heavy Amish territory, heavy Amish farm territory. So maybe, I don't know. I'm just floating an idea. I don't know why they would have done it there. The waterways, what it could have been targeting the farmers there, in particular the Amish, whom we've seen have been in the news quite a lot lately for, you know, because farmers will tend to be farmers. That's why I get along with farmers. In every country I go to, some of the first people I go to pick up atmospherics is farmers. I go to the farmers because I get along with farmers and I get along with Taliban farmers. I get along with...
Well, Thomas Jefferson said it shouldn't be lawyers or politicians. It should be farmers. He said farmers are our civilization.
Did he say that?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I'm paraphrasing him, but yeah.
Oh, I mean that.
He said yeoman farmers should fill Congress.
Literally every country I go to when I'm trying to pick up atmospherics, I'm like, okay, let's go talk with some farmers, you know, and because that's where you'll get a pulse, right? And I get along with farmers in every culture, even Taliban farmers I get along with. You know, I can tell you a lot of Taliban farmer stories. But the bottom line is, why did it happen in East Palestine? Were our Amish farmers being targeted? I don't know. I've got to head over to Netherlands, and then I may head back over there, or I may head to Ukraine after that. But this is gnawing on me. Maybe I'll have to send somebody up there.
Well, they're both close. Maybe go to Ukraine first and then to the Netherlands.
I've got to go to Netherlands because I got to go on with Jordan Peterson's.
You got to promise to come on when you're in Ukraine.
Well, either way, every country I go to, which is a lot.
Wow, keep going.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, so why did that happen there? Anyway, Carver Matrix, you see so many of these plants that are being hit. You see so many interruptions that are happening with electrical grid or whatnot. And this is something that people who've studied sabotage and these sorts of campaigns for years have often been concerned about with the United States. We're highly vulnerable because we are an open society. I mean, as Matt Bracken, whom you know, he went to Darien Gap with me recently, a great former SEAL officer. He was great in the jungle. Yeah, he talked about the other day, you know, if you want to take out your neighbor's electricity, you just shoot his transformer on his power pole. I mean, that's how vulnerable we are, right? We're highly vulnerable to sabotage and food in particular. Now, in many ways, we're very resilient. In other ways, we're very non-resilient if you have big level players that can take out your energy and your pipelines and that sort of thing, like Nord Stream, take out your ability to hit us with bureaucratic obstacles. This is one of the things they're doing with the Dutch and the Germans and the Belgians, hitting them with bureaucratic obstacles, adding more cost and time and money to their operations.
And again, what's the end game of the ruling class to want to make the people poor?
Take control of the food supply, for starters.
So it's by control.
And with this, remember, these all play into a comprehensive war strategy that they openly talk about. Remember, evil will tell you what it's going to do. Mein Kampf. I mean, he wrote it in a book, right? I mean, evil will sit there and tell you, I'm going to burn down your house, and then it'll go and burn down your house. The World Economic Forum, remember, the World Economic Forum and the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, are co-sanguinated. They are inseparable. You can't talk about them as if they joined forces. They are one, right? They may break up later and fight each other, but they operate as one. They have...
Same mission.
Oh, yeah, same mission, and they're just totally entwined, right? The Dutch government, as an example, is completely captured. It is utterly captured. And so one of the things that they'll first offer to do, which they offer to the United States, is to buy the farms, right? Or to buy the Dutch farmers or the Germans, right, or the British. Interestingly, when I was in Netherlands last year, you know, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has put hundreds of millions of dollars into something called Picnic. If you heard of that, food distribution. One of them burned down when I was there. I went to the fire the next morning. It was still smoldering. And then two more burned down. Somebody said,
I was about to say, what happens when the people start using the same tactics?
Yeah, when the third one burned, it became, you know, look, Carver works both directions. You know, it obviously becomes suspicious.
And that's the key. I've never called for violence. What I've done is identify the globalists or operations. I'm just going to let the public decide what they want to do.
Right. Ultimately, I think the World Economic Forum members are getting antsy as more and more of them realize, hey, we're a bunch of rich people and we're highly vulnerable.
By the way, I watch body language. I've been watching Klaus Schwab for 20 years. He looks scared now. And all their body language does not look confident.
He does. Did you see how he looked when Masako Ganaha, the Japanese journalist, approached him?
Oh, yeah.
He looked actually. What did you think about his body language then?
Just isolated, alone.
Yeah. He was naked. No real security or anything. You know, if he's such a heavy hitter, why? And the same with Greta Thunberg. She was there, and Misako was there and followed her. She got lost on the way to the train station. Greta could not find it. There was nobody there to escort her. They were just lost in Davos.
I think it's a combination. They're just front people. I agree, they're not as powerful. They're not, you know, head cards in the deck. But they're also overconfident because they've never been opposed. So when they finally get opposed, they're like, whoa, someone's even talking to me. They don't know what to do.
They're getting some pushback now. The curtain is being drawn back, and people start to realize, hey, that guy, you know, Switzerland, a lot of the Swiss are rising up against them as well, right? It's not like all the Swiss are behind this. They're not. Misako was down there interviewing Swiss farmers galore after this and before. And, you know, they are very angry about what's happening and why Davos is being used as their sort of little headquarters.
Why do you think Davos has been so arrogant about being in control? Obviously, it's a front group, but they're the spokesperson for the big corporations that are doing this. We penetrate the cabinets. We run your life. You'll own nothing. You'll like it. Why was he trying to act like a James Bond villain?
I think he was in some ways selected. Look at his accent. That accent that Klaus Schwab has grates on Americans in particular. I've explained this to people from other countries like Japan. Like, you might not understand, it's not a German accent. It's that particular German accent is right out of a Nazi movie to us, right? He is that villain. The things that he says, the way that he says them, the arrogance. We hate arrogance. We're Americans. We just don't like arrogance, right? And arrogance is whenever you meet the West people, they're all arrogant.
They're so arrogant.
Like over the top arrogant. They think they're in charge, and they have been for now. But once this thing kicks off, and there's who's going to guard them? They're not going to be able to walk around freely anymore. They're not going to be able to.
Well, that's right. They're trying to create this grave for us. They've dug their own grave.
Yeah. Wars always get out of control, and they never go the way that you think that they'll go. This thing that's kicking off now with Ukraine, and, you know, CCP is obviously thrown in with Russia, and which obviously CCP is an enemy of the United States, hugely. And actually criticism I have is Trump. I thought he was a dove on CCP compared to what I would have been doing. I mean, but I like the way Trump stood up on the border. I'm disgusted with his stand on the vax or the fake vax, the poison. But he did stand up to China to some level, right? But not enough. China is a lethal enemy of the United States, and they love to demean their enemies. They love to dog king people. And that's clearly what they're doing. That's why they want to get rid of the Dalai Lama and everything else, right? The Chinese love to humiliate enemies.
Michael Yon, in closing, how do people find your amazing reporting?
I'm on locals.com, Michael Yon. My last name is Yon, Yankee Oscar November. And I'm on Twitter, and Michael_Yon, Yankee Oscar November. And I'm on Getter. So it's Michael Yon 1776 on Getter. And I publish on Locals every day.
Well, it's incredible, the stuff you've done. I hope you'll come back soon now that you live in Texas.
Absolutely.
And you contact us. We all want to bug you. But when you're ready from Ukraine or ready from the Netherlands, you call us, you're on. Bam, I want to see what's happening.
I'll be in Netherlands next week. We can do it.
Next week, let's do it. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, I'm going to come back and some final news and hand the baton to the great Drew Hernandez, straight ahead. Hour number four, only 2 minutes away. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.